Chapter 4. The Hunt. Locke observed a brief pause in his father's movements, accompanied by his smile fading upon entering the home. Opidius took a deep breath, then proceeded towards Locke with a forced, plastic smile. Opidius said, "Locke, I think it's time we do the tracking I mentioned the other day. I'm sorry, I should have done it yesterday." Locke nodded in agreement. "Excellent, let's venture aside," Opidius proposed. Stepping out and braced outdoors, Locke and Opidius embarked on their journey towards a rugged hill, with scattered trees making it possible to see the bright clear sky flooding the steep hill as a cold breeze gently caressed their faces. Opidius walked intensively, studying each impression his boots left on the terrain. Eventually, Opidius paused and stooped down, inspecting the marks in more detail. Opidius motioned for Locke to join him. Without hesitation, Locke mirrored his father's stance, examining the direction of his father's gaze. Opidius, his voice tone yet firm, guided Locke's observation. "Notice the depth and the size of my print, then compare it to yours." Opidius elaborated further. "You see, the size of the depth on the footprint can provide valuable clues about who or what has passed by. If you spot a disturbed vegetation or broken branches, these are signs that something has walked this path. Similarly, a flock of birds floating away could indicate a nearby presence of a predator. Always stay aware of any rustling of leaves or snapping twigs, as these noises can locate a predator or its prey." Locke nodded, his focus unwavering, fully engrossed in his father's instructions. Once the session concluded, Opidius prompted Locke to feed the chickens when he went inside their cottage to speak to Bridget. Locke nodded and headed to the chicken pen on their property. Locke detoured to a small wooden shed against the enclosure, retrieving the satchel of chicken feed before returning to the chicken pen. Locke began distributing the feed among the eager chickens. As twilight settled, the encroaching darkness took the sun's fading glory. Suddenly, a harsh screech sliced through the silence from the heart of the neighbouring forest, prickling Locke's skin with goosebumps. Cottle whimpered in anxiety, while Finn launched into aggressive volley barks. Locke gently placed the feed snack down, rushing towards the stressed dogs in the dog pen next to where Locke was. "Easy, boys, easy. There's no reason to be scared," Locke consoled him. His tone was a blend of reassuringness and calmness. Locke unlatched a creaky gate, his hands brushing against the weathered wire. As soon as the gate opened, Carter barreled into Locke with a forceful sentence sprawling to the ground. Unfazed, the dog bolted into the forbidding forest towards a sorcerer's screech, with Finn hot on his heels. Locke charged after him, scrambling to his feet, his heart pounding in sync with his footsteps. "Carter, Finn, please come back," Locke pleaded in the quiet wilderness. Drawn deep into the forest by Cottle's echo box, Locke found an underbrush growing denser, the sunlight failing to pierce through. As Locke closed the distance, a rank odor invaded his nostrils, a vile cocktail of blood and decay that grew more potent with every stride. Locke tentatively traced his origin, and a chilling sight met his gaze. A figure Locke couldn't quite distinguish lay on the forest floor, a carcass of some sort. Gathering his courage, Locke raced towards it. Approaching the chilling spectacle, Locke expelled a breath. A once formidable wolf now reduced to a gruesome, lifeless heap. A shudder rippled through Locke's body, goosebumps all over his skin as a horrifying realization dawned on him. Something out there was capable of this horrific act against a potent predator.
"Cottle! Finn! Where are you?" Locke bellowed, his voice frantic.
Locke's eyes caught sight of a wolf's paw print nearby. The air carried an unfamiliar metal tang of blood, and traces of red were scattered chaotically on the ground. Another set of paw prints, more significant and deeper entrenched into the earth, arose Locke's concern. Their size and the depth suggested a creature of immense size and weight. Locke's body tightened with apprehension, his heart drumming as frantic rhythm in his chest. Finn's whimpering cut through the eerie quiet, drawing his attention. Locke found Finn and Cottle locked in the stair into the forest's deeper gloom. Their tails tucked low, ears flat, deaf to Locke's calls. Urgency overcame Luke. He started running, but he was abruptly jerked back. Luke attempted to resist, a startled cry ripping through his throat, until he recognised the grip. It was his father. Orpheus shouted furiously, "I told you not to go in this forest. It's not safe. Why did you go in the forest after what I told you? You could have got yourself killed."
Luke tried to fight back the tears, and he then broke away from his father's grasp. Seeing his father glaring at him, Luke's body trembled as he shouted back, "I'm sorry. The dogs escaped the pen. I wanted to bring them home. I didn't want something to happen to them."
Orpheus warned sternly, "Even if it seems safe, you must not enter the forest for any reason, even to rescue dogs. Do you understand me?"
Luke nodded silently.
Heavy, ominous steps followed by a fearsome roar that shattered the relative quiet. The Scanlist, a monstrous creature the size of a bear, emerged from the shelter of the shadowed trees.
Luke screamed, threatening to break free, but Orpheus covered his mouth, muffling the cry of terror.
Orpheus positioned himself protectively in front of Luke. The Scanlist, with its pitch-black floor, snake-like tail dragging on the ground, moved on all fours. Its black and yellow eyes pierced through the darkness. It stalked menacingly through the trees, encircling the terrified pair. Its attention seemed to be concentrated on the floor as it searched for something until its gaze landed on Luke. A terrifying growl, it lunged towards Luke, but Orpheus intercepted the creature, brandishing the wolf's broken bone as a weapon. The Scanlist swatted Orpheus away with a mighty sweep of his tail, knocking Orpheus to the ground. The creature advanced slowly towards Orpheus, its teeth bared in a terrifying hiss. A terrified scream escaped Luke's lips, Luke's body trembling, frozen in fear as he witnessed his father helpless on the ground. Just as the Scanlist was about to pounce, a distant roar and a metallic twang of familiar blood filled the air. Distracted, the Scanlist glanced towards the source of the sound, shot a last glance at Orpheus, and then bounded into the forest towards the roar and the scent of fresh blood. Groaning, Orpheus rose from the forest floor, rushing to Luke, Orpheus' face entrenched with panic. Luke remained rooted to the spot, speechless, his eyes wide with shock. Orpheus quickly scooped Luke up, then whistled sharply for the dogs. Cato and Finn immediately obeyed, turning away from the forest and running past Orpheus and Luke. Their pace quickened as they made their way towards the safety of home. Racing into the home, Orpheus was panting heavily, his grip on Luke unyielding. Orpheus was so immersed in his panic that he didn't immediately register the familiar surroundings of their cottage. The commotion drew Bridget from the kitchen. Bridget saw an exhausted Orpheus and a shaken Luke, her eyes widening in alarm.
Gently, Orpheus set Luke down, instructing him in a strained voice to go to his bedroom.
Without uttering a word, Luke obediently complied. Orpheus turned to Bridget, his eyes conveying the gravity of the situation. A Scanlist knew he took Luke from us. If it hadn't been distracted, I might not be able to save him. We can't stay in this village anymore. It's not safe. I'll speak to Uslov. Perhaps he and his comrades can escort us out of here. Bridget nodded in acquiescence, her expression grave.
Orpheus continued, "We must pack tonight, salvaging whatever valuables we have. Uslov's assistance will come at a significant cost, unfortunately. We need to be prepared. Bridget, go to the bakery and get whatever else we need. There is no time to waste."